Welcome back to the Smashy Business Show. Today I am Anika Ellis-Baby, and with me today is...
Richard Fitzgerald. It's Friday, the 14th of June, 2024. And our stories?
We have a couple of interesting stories today, because Saudi Arabia has finally ditched a 50-year-old oil deal with the US. This is expected to have a seismic shift in global currency. Saudi Arabia is also launching self-driving flying taxis for Hajj. And the PIF under Turki al-Sheikh may establish a boxing league worth $4 to $5 billion.
Brilliant story. So how's your week been, Annika?
Busy.
But go to any events or anything around town?
No, not really. Not too much.
A couple of the guys were down at Atlantis. Not Atlantis. Atlantis is so synonymous with the Palm. They were on the Palm at another hotel. Zabil Zarai for the launch. OSN had a streaming event for the launch of House of the Dragons 2.
I did see a lot of buzz.
Pretty impressive. It just, I really wanted to go to it because the show itself is a hit. It's
yeah,
a
you were supposed to go.
I was supposed to go. I didn't go. You know what, Annika, I love going to the media events, but they kind of have to be during the day. And I feel like if they're during the day, they're more networky, they're more business, and you hear about numbers. 100%. If they're at night, they're usually entertainment.
So are you implying that those who went were just dweebs who went for like...
No, our team, you know, we go as media, we go as partners. We work a lot with OSN and now OSN Plus and Angami and things like that. So, you know, you can go for entertainment, and to understand the entertainment part of media is important as well. It's just nice that there is an entertainment sector in the region, that they do have these. They had one of the actors for a type of character on the show at the event. I don't have all the details. I'm not a big watcher of this stuff. But it's nice that the events are continuing. And we do get the feeling, okay, we're entering into Eid now and there'll be people 100%. Will be traveling. But we do get the feeling that the summer is going to be an active summer. Yeah. Entertainment-wise, events-wise. Yeah. I myself, we talked about it earlier in the week, but I went with Farah Bashir to the AI retreat event.
And she looked very scared when she mentioned it. Yeah. I feel like she's already pale, but she becomes even more pale when you mention AI, because she goes out like, so we went to my enemy's lair. Okay.
To our enemy's lair. Yeah, but it is active. But that's enough about Dubai. Like, where today, there's three stories. I couldn't help but notice that they're all Saudi stories.
Because so much is happening there. But the biggest story to come out of there is our first story for the day, which is Saudi Arabia ending a five-year oil deal.
Yeah.
So this has been a long-standing agreement which underpinned the petrodollar system for over 50 years. And obviously, people are all concerned. We posted about it on Smashy Business. And like a big comment was, will this impact the performance of S&P 500? The comments are all applauding the decision because everybody's really appreciating the fact of Saudi Arabia moving out, stepping away, and really doing its own thing. You know, not sticking to the system that was established during World War II. It's very interesting. So what's your businessman take on this?
Yeah, you know, I'm just trying to look up. I think I should know this. I think it was King Faisal after Prince Abdulaziz Al Saud, King Abdulaziz Al Saud. So it was in 1974. Actually, I have this wrong. There was an initial agreement on a boat somewhere, and you can look it up, but there was an initial meeting between the king and one of the presidents.
Oh, yes, I have heard of this.
There's a famous story.
They like landed together and then they were just sitting and like it was
That's when the diplomacy originated. But what they're referring to here is a specific deal signed on the 9th of June, 1974, that allowed US dollar to be exchanged for Saudi crude oil exports, solidifying the dollar status. So let's just go back, right? So why is it called Aramco? Because it's an American oil company, Saudi Aramco.
Yes.
But interestingly, Annika, I'm not an oil expert, but a lot of the petroleum companies in the US, when they kind of came here and did partnerships with certain countries, they kept their American brand name. Like Shell did a lot in Qatar. Other companies did a lot in Iran. There was a something Iranian oil company, but it's known as something else on the high street. You can see it like ADNOC in the US. If we look up the branding names, But usually in that case, I think British Petroleum, I think BP was the one that was in with Iran. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. So we know it as BP, but and they have offices in Dubai and they have Castrol and many things. But we don't know them. The Saudi one as an American company. We know it's Aramco because the Saudi government took back control of that, and yet they had an agreement. And so they had a 50-year agreement, meaning that they would sell. And in return, what do America get? Saudi buy the treasuries. So they say they're going to, on this agreement, Saudi Arabia agreed to sell its oil exclusively, in US dollars and invest a significant portion of its surplus petrodollar revenue in US treasury bonds and other assets. T-bonds are doing really well now in times of inflation. But that basically, everything in the US is linked to the treasury bill, is linked to the US dollar being the reserve country of the world, but also the price of the stock market and the 401ks and the, you know, where the cash goes to keep things high, right? And Saudi, apparently, according to this, who knows the diplomacy around it, but that didn't renew. And that's in line with a few things we're seeing lately. What are we seeing lately? As Saudi has sold a lot of its US equity stocks. And there was a headline in Bloomberg or the FT recently that the foreign consultants are saying, bad move, Saudi, don't give us money, stop investing in your own projects. So the consultants are worried that Saudi are hedging their bets in their own country. You know, why would that be a bad move? If you believe in your own country, you need to invest in it.
Of course.
So people are saying that these giga projects don't have enough funding and Saudi are in trouble. They love writing the headlines that NEOM line is reduced. And then when Saudi are actually doing something about it, in other words, selling their equities and probably not putting as much of their funds in the treasury bonds, instead putting it in their own giga projects and their own people, they're being criticized. Obviously, very clear to read between the lines. They're being criticized with people who doesn't suit their agenda, which is propping up their own economy. And now people go further on this and they say, is this the decline of the superpower? Is this the century, this 100 years? You know, if we were alive, inshallah, in 100 years' time, not possible technically, who knows? But if we were, you know, is the US the big superpower in 100 years? And I always sort of...
I hope not.
You know what? I don't think so. I think we're moving global south, and I think there's a lot, and it's not just to do with the dollar, but I think there's just history of the world shows empires and dynasties, whether it's the Byzantine, whether it's the famous Umayyads, the famous Persian empires, the famous empires, the Dutch, all the big empires, even the British. I might have mentioned this on the show before, but if you read newspaper books around the turn of the 19th century into the early 1900s, a lot of the clippings, the debate at that time is, will the US emerge? Will it emerge as big as the UK, as Britain? Because Britain was a superpower then.
Yeah,
Europe was powerful.
The sun never set.
Yeah, and it wasn't inevitable that America would be the America that we know today. It was 120 years ago, that wasn't set in stone. Like Rockefeller was a young guy and blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, the capital markets hadn't really found their feet and all that sort of stuff. Manhattan was whatever, you know, and then it emerged. So there's a lot of things at play here. And I think these are significant things. And it is on Instagram, it is taking a headline. Who knows if that document is still there, if they renew it or not. But it does look like that if Saudi no longer has to put in treasury bonds, in the US, then they might start investing in other things.
100%. And they are planning to, because it's the Saudi Vision 2030. They want to invest into other non-oil activities. They want to move into the other sector because they're trying to deviate. But
Diversify, absolutely.
Diversify.
And, the capital markets here are still burgeoning. They're still young. Sheikh Mohammed had the vision had the vision of making Islamic bonds, sukuks, valuable as well. So if you no longer have to put your cash into America bonds, then can you put them in sukuks here, that each country has their own? So it's an interesting space to watch. Absolutely.
I'm very interested about this particular story. I'm very interested to see if other countries are going to follow suit. Now that Saudi is like, no, I'm saying enough. What's going to happen? And in general, like, what are the long-term implications of this? How is the global economy going to alter itself? What's going to happen to currency rates? And personally, for me, as a single investor, how am I impacted? How should I take care of my funds? Should I be moving my money elsewhere? A lot of research to be done there.
Bitcoin, Annika. Bitcoin. Dollar's dying, go to Bitcoin. No, but I think you're right. I think, you know, we shouldn't finish this topic without bringing up BRICS, that sort of entity, because yes. Saudi's now part of BRICS, that
yeah.
British, Russia, India, South Africa. But there's at least four or five other countries there. I know we've covered it before. And that's a new sort of governing system. You know, we got used to...
I would like the power in India a little bit.
Yeah.
Sorry? It's good. I would like the power to be a little bit with India.
Yeah, absolutely. Like India are part of that. India, you know, in with China, in with Russia, and, in terms of an emerging power. And, you know, there are claims that India will be one of the biggest economies, if not the biggest in the world, by the end of this century. So absolutely.
Amazing.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. Go India.
Global South, yay. A victory for the Global South.
Absolutely.
But that brings us, speaking of Saudi Arabia diversifying and doing new things, they've also launched flying taxis for Hajj. So this is a landmark move where Saudi Arabia has launched the world's first self-driving flying taxi service specifically for Hajj operations. So this is to enhance pilgrimage experience for the attendees. And it's also obviously in line with the 2030 Saudi goals, Saudi vision. It was inaugurated by the Minister of Transport and Logistics. And it is meant to help people transport themselves between the holy sites of Arafat, Mina, and Muzdalifa during the Hajj pilgrimage. I think that's very interesting. I like that every year Saudi does something new, something interesting to really amp up the Hajj experience. You know, I just saw a video recently of how there was this mosque that was supposed to be, I forgot the name of the mosque, I'm really sorry, but it has a thing that opens up just to like help with the crowd, and in general, like if it gets too hot, they just open it up so that there's a little more circulation. So like for a long time, like Saudi has always been innovative in some sense, you know, doing things with what they have, trying to make experiences better, which I think is a good sign of a country that's slowly trying to build itself in every way, even religiously.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, flying cars and flying taxis, Dubai has been at the forefront of that.
Yeah, there was a video of Sheikh Hamdan like sitting in a flying taxi. No, just watching from a distance a flying taxi as it went up.
Yeah, we've covered Archer a lot on the show as well, and they're one of the pioneers in that space. And to see especially Saudi, but especially around Hajj, you know, it's going to be Eid prayer this weekend. It's a very hot time. They're dealing with the highest numbers in a long time. I'll just read out some of, you know, I'll shout out our Love in Riyadh show, because the two girls over there in Riyadh, Rama and Sarah, talk about Hajj in terms of what's happening at the moment. So if you want to listen to that a bit more from a Saudi on the ground perspective, but for the purpose of this business show, we'll talk a little bit about the economics of Hajj. And you know, millions of Muslims around the world go to Hajj every year, and in 2012 the 10-day event generated approximately $10 billion to Mecca's Chamber of Commerce. The real estate investment in Mecca is a local opportunity. Hotel owners near the main mosque charge up to $700 per night. Land prices in Mecca have skyrocketed, with a meter of land costing $22,000 compared with just $3 in the past. And you know, on top of Hajj, there's also obviously Umrah all year round. The Future Market Insights research showed that the tourism market was expected to fetch over $150 billion this year, and is likely to go to $200 billion by 2032. So it is, you know, Saudi Arabia is the custodians of two holy mosques, and I think with the numbers of people going there, you do want these things taken into, as you were saying, you do want this sort of environment to accommodate, whether it's for hot weather or just in general technology, and you know, making this experience, accommodate the experience, you know?
I do love like that, the fact that the Middle East, I think when it grows, becomes a bigger empire than it already is, it's going to stay, because we are combating with so many different, it's not just the world and stereotypes that are against the Middle East, but it's also things like nature, the weather. We are making do in a place that's a desert, which is technically seen as a dry piece of land, extremely humid temperatures, very hot or very cold, but we're making do and we're finding new ways. And I truly believe the solutions for climate change, because climate change, an impact is that it's going to heat up, and it is heating up already. I think it's going to come mainly from the Middle East because we know how to cope with these things. We've been doing it for centuries, be it the mud houses or the sand houses or the big structures you see in old Dubai even now. It's a sign of
Absolutely. Absolutely. If the earth is getting hotter, the one part of the world, the planet that was used to dealing with heat is here. So more people move here. But I think, you know, it's interesting you bring that up, especially around now and prayers and being outside and, you know, everything like that. But climate isn't necessarily just warming. It's also disasters and it's also
floods.
Yeah, and things like rains. That. So. Yeah, it's unpredictable extreme weather conditions, hot or cold,
which we've
started to see on the 19th of
16th of April.
Good journalist knowing the date. It was a good point. I was listening to the radio the day after, and the person on the radio said we remember this date, and I'd love to check with people, do they remember the date? But I thought it's the 19th, but the 19th was the Friday.
Yes.
So I remember that. I got engaged that day, so that's why.
Aww,
I remember.
Cute.
But that was the Friday. But yeah, the 16th was the Tuesday, right? Wednesday,
yes.
Thursday, Friday. Yeah, exactly. I was somewhere yesterday. I was actually at Shark Tank, behind the scenes of Shark Tank, but I won't share much about it because it's a bit. It's not that I signed an NDA, but they don't want to reveal much. But they're shooting season two of Shark Tank, and someone walked by, an English gentleman, and he was chatting to someone. He said, "Yeah, I've just back from the UK. We lost our house in the floods." So so people are still dealing with this sort of, you know, two or three months later.
Insurances are in place. Alfred hasn't ran anywhere, so I think we're coping with it.
Yeah.
And if not, maybe we can take boxing classes, like from PIF, which brings me to our next story.
First segue there, but we'll let you away with it.
I'm trying. So the Public Investment Fund is negotiating with various boxing stakeholders to create a league, potentially through a joint venture, and it could be valued at $4 to $5 billion. This is a story by Reuters. So this initiative has been spearheaded by the General Entertainment Authority Chief Turki Al-Sheikh. And he has always been all about boxing, as Ali Khalil, our resident boxer, can confirm. Prominent promoters like Matchroom Boxing and Golden Boy Promotions are involved. I don't know, do you watch the UFC much? I'm someone who finds boxing extremely violent, and so I stay away. But do you know more?
I'm the same. I watch it from an entertainment and business point of view, but I'm not a fan. I don't really believe in the violence of sports. I just don't think it's...
Yeah, you're all about sports being a team spirit and getting us together.
Yeah, I think it can be healthy.
Your metaphor is usually...
Yeah, I think it can be healthy.
Oh, okay. Ali Khalil says it's science, not violence.
It's science, not violence. Well, yeah, okay, we could debate that point,
we'll
but it's interesting what Saudi definitely are doing. You know, why are they investing in this? Because they have Vision 2030, because they want to increase, they have a statistic, and I did have it right before, but they want at least 60% of the country to do 2 times sport activity of 40 minutes twice a week or something like that. That percentage, I think at the moment or a year ago they were at 17% or something. So whenever I heard Turki Al-Sheikh is obviously GIA, the General Entertainment Authority. There's also Prince Abdulaziz, who's in charge of the Ministry of Sport,
right.
And he's been interviewed and he said that, you know, when we put in the 200 million for a fight, we see in the next 6 months the activities and the gyms opening in Jeddah and other places increases. So they see a knock-on effect of spreading awareness of these world-class events. The Western world is called a sport washing. I've seen some analysis and some commentary this week around this boxing league saying Saudi's doing an interesting thing here. They're buying in the things they can't own, like the F1 and the WWE,
right.
And they're owning the things that are in a mess. So they're owning the sports that haven't got their stuff together and the leagues together. Now, F1, NBA, Premier League, like these are all, FIFA, these are all global entities that are well-run, massively commercial successful. But then you look at other sports like tennis, boxing, it's all over the place. They don't know if the players own it, if the league own it, the leagues are fighting with each other. Golf, prime example. It's all a mess, right? So what Saudi are doing is they tested out having these big fights, and I've been to most of them in Riyadh, including the last one with Usyk versus Fury in Kingdom Arena a few weeks ago. But what they're doing here, what they proposed is, you mentioned the size of the value it could be, but they're saying it's going to be an initial investment of $2 billion.
Wow.
The proposed league aims to feature up to 200 active male boxers competing across 12 weight classes. You know, boxing is all about different weights, featherweight, middleweight, heavyweight, with regular top-level fights, determining rankings and championships. The key details, initial $2 billion from PIF, you know, a unified league format, 12 weight classes, regular high-profile bouts, which would determine rankings. The league aims to solve the current issues with promotional disputes and lack of elite matchups. There's no system. We're kind of like, you know, we're waiting for the famous people who run these things, like Eddie Hearn and Frank Warren, to say, hey, there's going to be a fight in London. I did a deal. There's one here. And maybe we get two fights every 3 years, you know? So it's all over the place. And I think we've seen not only Turkey Al Sheikh and Saudi hosting these, and MBS goes to the fights, but what we've also seen, Annika, is many photos. There's one classic photo of like 50 or so boxing Hall of Famers, from Mike Tyson to Manny Pacquiao to Amir Khan. Like, they're all in a photo together. So the boxing community has sort of said, well, like, you're helping save the sport.
Right.
You know, whether our personal views on the sport or not, but the boxing community, you know, and for, you know, and Ali's a good point. Like, boxing is a gym exercise, right, to a degree, until they're punching the living daylights out of each other. But, you know, it does take people off the street. It brings them into that environment.
100%.
It's a very endurance testing. It's very good for, you know, to have the muscles you need to box, like the training. It's very, very good at that level. I just don't agree with the punching the heads thing.
I wonder at what point Saudi is going to quickly switch on into influencer boxing,
yeah,
like what Dubai is doing right now. I think we are having an influencer boxing ring coming up July 6th, if I'm not wrong, at the Coca-Cola Arena.
Yeah, I love Dubai, our media partners. Love, you're right. Dubai. It's called Social Lockout
Social
3,
Knockout,
I think.
Yes.
Yeah, so we've got big names there. We've got Mo Vlogs, all our
Mo Vlogs, Abdul Rozik. There's a live performance by a rapper, a lady.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very interesting because they just commercialized a sport that's already been commercialized so much through the UFC and all of that.
Yeah.
And now we're going to get, like, because once you see people who, sometimes it's a little bit of a sadistic thing where you just want to see this influencer you really hate get beaten. But sometimes it's just about, like, oh, that's very interesting. Like, I didn't know that they had this particular talent too. I think Money Gigs is a good example of someone who just started out as just started with influencing, and now suddenly, like, we know him more as a boxer,
yeah,
as the guy who is on the ring.
Yeah, totally. So, and Netflix has seen this as well. They were putting Mike Tyson and Logan Paul for a one-off event as well.
Logan Paul, yes, yeah.
Yeah, so it is a big space. And yeah, I think there still is a bit, you know, the boxing world doesn't see the influencers in the same level. So I think what they're trying to do at you know, in the elite profession with the weights and everything like that is just do the proper thing first.
Right.
But I do think that sometime down the line... There will be events in Saudi.
There will be events like this.
Yeah, there's more venues being
There's
built.
Always a way to make more money out of something that's already giving you money.
Yeah, absolutely.
Capitalism.
Annika's gone against her beliefs talking about these topics. I can feel the struggle, the internal battle. But thank you for joining us today.
Yes,
brilliant Friday morning. Quick little episode we put together.
Yes.
All Saudi today, but why not?
Yes, all before the long weekend and wonderful Eid.
Yeah, Eid Mubarak, everyone.
Eid
Have a lovely
Mubarak.
Time. We'll be back on Wednesday morning with another episode.
Oh, Wednesday morning?
I think Wednesday.
Oh, yes, yeah, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Because it's such a long weekend.
Yeah.
I totally forgot.
Yeah, I think in UAE we're off until Tuesday, but in Saudi they're actually back in on Thursday for one day. And in Egypt, they're off for the whole week, Annika, but there's a dispute between the government, public and private sector. So the government have given the whole week off, and the private sector have to individuals have to take 2 weekdays of their own personal leave.
Oh, no.
So it's a whole mess there at the moment on leaves and stuff. But anyway, everyone, Eid Mubarak, have a nice time. Enjoy your sacrifices and enjoy
your
Eid prayer.
Days.
And VK, yeah, and for the entrepreneurs who can't take their eyes off the laptops and the phones, keep hustling. Someone has to keep the capitalism wheel turning, right, Annika?
Yeah, of course.
Sure. All right, love it. Over and out.
Goodbye.